be seated. We got a crowd here today. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. I looked out at the all the cars parked outside, and I thought, man, they must have kept the feast going, would we have? Speaking of that, what do you think about the Pentecost falls on a Thursday, what about having a three-day feast? Okay. Praise Yahweh. The component of that new genetically engineered food additive may be embryonic. Comes from the embryo. Yes. Part of the kidney cells from aborted human fetus. That's what it says. And they're checking it out now to see, but he seems to have the facts, they said. I don't know if, there was some people saw the orange lights on the first night of the feast of unleavened bread, the first great holy day. Who all saw the lights, the orange lights? If you could give us what you did see, this came out in Abilene Reporter News, Abilene News. it seems like on the 31st, after sunset, of course, and the 1st, they saw huge orange lights. They have some pictures of them in another article that I saw. But they were first vertical, I believe, then horizontal. Then they disappeared and made a circle. And they only stayed on about 3 seconds or so in each location. Then they'd go from there to another location. But it was in the Callahan County, Eula area. And praise Yahweh, orange. I think maybe they might have been shining around the house of Yahweh that night. I know they're certainly shining here inside. Iran says there's no way from nuclear state. Iran unveiled a third generation of domestically built centrifuge Friday as the Islamic Republic accelerates a uranium enrichment program that has alarmed world powers fearful of the nuclear program's aims. The new machines are capable of much faster enrichment than those now being used in Iran's nuclear facilities. And Iran officials praise the advancement as a step towards greater self-sufficiency in the face of international sanctions targeted at choking off the nuclear work. Ahmadinejad declared there was no way back for Iran's nuclear work despite opposition from the United States and other world powers, though he insists it had only peaceful aims like power generation. Iran would remain a nuclear state, he said, whether enemies want it or not. President Barack Obama's announcement on Tuesday of a new American nuclear policy enraged Iran's leaders because the guidelines classify Iran as a potential target for a nuclear attack. Obama's policy included pledges to reduce America's nuclear arsenal, refrain nuclear tests, and not use nuclear weapons against countries that do not have them. Ahmadinejad called the promised arsenal reduction a show and a big lie aimed at allowing Washington to keep the bulk of its weapons. The policy would only encourage nations to seek a nuclear military option, he said. Well, of course, this is the arguments in Rome and the upsetting of the Roman Empire that the Vatican had. It's crumbling now, as you can see on all sides. And the Vatican itself is being attacked, of course. And this was always the problems that they were having in history when they separated from everyone following Yahweh's laws. Israel had the same thing taking place. And then Yahweh started driving out the disobedient out of Israel. They thought they were leaving for other purposes, but it was Yahweh that the prophet showed was actually driving them out of the land of Israel. It finally came down to just the land, just the tribe of Judah only was in Israel. And then Yahweh prophesied, his prophets prophesied that he would drive them out also. And then which he did. And then, of course, he said he dissolved the Levitical priesthood. He prophesied that the temple would be destroyed. And then everything that had come up to that point was accomplished. Everything that he had in his plan was accomplished at that point until the latter days. And, of course, we're in that time period now. The archaeology has discovered the site of the crucifixion and the place where Abraham offered or was to offer up Isaac are at the same location, it says. And it looks like they gave a pretty great job in that. In fact, we're going to try to get the film maybe and see what they have on it. The troubles in the world, of course, they come from people who rebel against Yahweh's laws, and it started, of course, with Cain. But it started with Cain, and of course, Cain was actually in the house of Yahweh, and then he decided he couldn't believe this. Fact that there had to be a Savior to pay for his life and his resurrection. And he had all sorts of things taught to him, like the eternal soul, eternal life. That's what the Masons teach, by the way. And you can't join, or you couldn't at one time. I haven't seen an application from them for years, but the first application I saw, the very first thing that you had to agree to was that you had an immortal soul. And, of course, Cain had to agree to that, too, to be a Mason. I guess you might say he was the first Mason because he was the first one that started teaching the immortal soul business. The prophets taught that you would be resurrected. In fact, Daniel said that there would be there would be a resurrection, and some of the people who would be resurrected to honor, the others to shame and contempt. And but it comes down now. Cain, you know, he was in the house, and then his countenance fell when he was corrected, and he went around with a sour look on his face, and refused to clap his hands, and wanted to make a show to let everybody know, everybody that wanted to join him, you know, and he wanted to show them that he was against Yahweh, against his house. So he refused to do the things that Yahweh tells him to do. It's easy to look up the word clap, you know, and do that in a Strong's Concordance. You don't have to believe it. That's what Cain did. He didn't believe it. And of course, his countenance fell. You'd think he just lost his best friend or his mother died, but she was still alive. And it was kind of set a pattern of what to look for, you know. Instead of the making the Sabbath a delight, the joy of Yahweh, then he was rebuked for that also. Then he got so mad he wanted to hit him in the face and threatened to, and then finally did. Finally killed him. Well, that's how it goes with the priest too. When in Samuel's day, and of course a group of them, which almost was all the priests over all the tribes, fell away, and they decided they wanted a king over them. Now this was something they had harbored for a long time, as Yahweh said to Samuel, that ever since he brought them out of the land of Egypt, they were harboring this bitter hatred to leadership, to authority in Yahweh's house, to the authority of Yahweh's laws, to what to look forward to. In Ephesians, if you want to be turning there with me, it came down through the prophets, of course. The plan of Yahweh started in Genesis, but it came down through the years to by Yahweh inspiring his prophets. He said, "Holy men of old spake as they were moved by Yahweh." And of course, they wrote the plan of salvation for it. It didn't differ from what was given by Abel. But Yahweh said the world has gone the way of Cain. But he says in each place he will prophesy a work, and unless it's prophesied, it won't be the work of Yahweh. It'll only be deception, a mixture of righteousness and evil. That's what it's going to be. Unless it is the work of Yahweh, unless it's a prophesied work of Yahweh, and then Yahweh tells you what that will be also. If you believe him, then, as the great David Yehuda just brought out, then you've got to support it. Let those who believe then support the work. Here in Ephesians, when it gets down to this time period now, to the apostles. Now, how do we know that the apostles were inspired? Well, of course, first off, they were spoken of in prophecy back in the beginning, back in Genesis. And of course, this group right here is, spoken of in prophecy too. Yahweh prophesied from the beginning that the salvation for the 12 tribes and coming from the 12 tribes would actually be Yeshua and a group of people here today called the colts of the donkeys. And no one understood that, but of course Yeshua understood it. He understood the prophecies and he taught them. If you look at chapter 2 of Ephesians and verse 20 here, you'll see that we're different from all the others. Now, they had the prophets guiding them. Samuel was a great guide. He spoke Yahweh's words. He gave them Yahweh's decisions. They had many great leaders, including Moshe, of course, and Abel. Even today, Yahweh is still saying, "Ask at Abel." You know why? Because it's never changed. What took place at Abel and what was taught at Abel is the same thing that's being taught today. And the reason you could ask and get a decision at Abel was the same as today is because we teach the same thing. It doesn't vary. If you notice, every prophet down through the 6,000-year period, they never got off from that same thing that was taught at Abel. Yahweh's laws were taught strictly, and of course, in Samuel's day, they were still being taught the same. He was rejected, of course. Samuel was rejected. So was Yeshua. But that doesn't make their work wrong. As Yeshua said, the people love darkness rather than light. Let's start here with verse 20. He says, and are built upon the foundation. This is us today. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Yeshua himself being the chief cornerstone. Well, of course, all of this now is shown in the scriptures before it ever got to this time. And of course, in verse 11, go up to verse 11 here. He says, therefore, remember that in times past you were Gentiles. They translate that strangers. I told you a Gentile or goy, or they have several words for them, but they were just disbelievers. You could be the Apostle Shaul, you know, he was a Hebrew, but he was also an unbeliever. He was an unbeliever of the prophecies at one time. He was also a murderer. And Yahweh, of course, had called him. But this word Gentile here, it's translated strangers down below. But all it is strangers to what is taught at the house of Yahweh, taught by the one sent or the one prophesied. As Abel taught these same things. He prophesied. Abel gave us many prophecies in the work that he did. But the Gentiles, they call Gentiles here, we translated it Gentiles, who are called uncircumcised. Now, if you are familiar with the history of the 12 tribes, many of them quit circumcision. CPS filed on them, and there was always somebody around to persecute the work of Yahweh, and of course, this was one of the things that they suffered persecution on. The doctors told them, you know, that this was cruel and unusual punishment, and law enforcement said the same. Anything to get Yahweh's laws stopped, keep people from practicing Yahweh's laws. Well, that's what goes on today too. It hasn't stopped it, but it puts fear. This is the Catholic Church's way, always has been, the way of putting fear. The reason for putting fear into people is to stop them from practicing Yahweh's law. You keep the Sabbath, you know, if you keep the Sabbath, then you're saying the Catholic Church is wrong. Now, today, you can get away with that. In the days of Constantine or Titus, you couldn't. When Constantine passed the law that you had to keep Sunday, it was a death penalty to be caught keeping the Sabbath. And, of course, their crusaders, their inquisitions, as they called it, they would go out and arrest them. This was what was going on with the Apostle Shaul. He would go and arrest the people and bring them back to the chief priest, who were all Romans, of course, at that time, and waiting for the move to Rome that they knew that they were going to do. He would go out and arrest these people. And that's the reason that he persecuted the apostles. He went after the apostles and their followers big time, because it was against the law there at that time to do certain things that the Vatican was saying, let's get rid of this, like using the name Yahweh. That was going on back in the days of Yeremia, and they called themselves just simply priest at that time. They priests of the Lord, priests of the Lord. They stopped using the name Yahweh. They were priests of Yahweh. Then they stopped using the name Yahweh because the Vatican said, don't use the name Yahweh. She's still saying, don't use the name Yahweh. Yeah, it was there. The Vatican was there at that time. Later on, they called themselves separatists, which is Pharisees. And then after, they're still separating themselves behind closed doors, but it's being exposed what they're doing now. It was exposed back then by the prophets, brethren, and they said, you're doing the same thing that the Sodomites are doing. And this was said several times in the scriptures. But anyway, he said, you were just like them. He's talking to a group of people here, to the Ephesians. The Apostle Shaul, of course, was writing this letter right here. And he said to them, he said, you were just like myself, speaking of himself at one time. You were, therefore, remember that in times past you were strangers or Gentiles, who are called the uncircumcised by those who are called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Well, that was Abel. And of course, it was every one of Yahweh's groups. Circumcision was on the eighth day, and it was the law, a covenant, a blood covenant made with Yahweh. Remember that at that time, you were without Messiah, the same as Cain, without Messiah because he had an eternal soul, he thought. And that's what he went around teaching. And that and reincarnation. no doubt there's you drinking the sweeteners that we have today also, trying to reincarnate themselves. Being aliens outside the citizenship. Now, he's not talking about a birth certificate that you would get from one of the 12 tribes, but a promise that was made to Abraham. They were cut off from that promise, which is life, eternal life. And if you'll think about it a little bit, when the temple was destroyed, the Levitical priesthood was dissolved, there was no more eternal life offered. After the apostles were killed, that was the last of it. And of course, I think the last one died in 96, so that was it. Now, from that time on, the scripture shows there was no eternal life until the man came riding the donkey. And of course, he wasn't the riding of that donkey at the time of Matithiah's history of it was not what he was talking about. That was just, he was prophesying a work that was going to be done in the last days when he came riding into Jerusalem on that donkey. But we'll get to all of that. I told you I would, and I think I'm going to now. And in 2010. But citizenship, you were aliens outside the citizenship. That is the rule of Yahweh, the instruction of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, which offers salvation. You were outside of it. You didn't believe it, as they said in Hebrews 4. They just simply didn't believe. So they were outside, but believing is part of the work. That's what Yahshua showed you. You've got to believe, but you got to believe the one sent. You can't believe Baal's preachers. They're leading you with eternal souls that will die and be destroyed. That's the stupidity shown. It's even shown in Genesis. But people still preach it. But there's always going to be, there has always been for 6,000 years of man's history. And until the kingdom is actually formed and Yahweh makes his selection, he says, of unity, and they'll all be unity or they won't be part of it. There'll even be some, Yahshua said, that will actually be called up and then found out that they're still harboring the stupid Christian jokes that Satan played on them in Genesis. And of course, they will be discovered and they will be ridded from the kingdom. But here he says, citizenship of Israel. This word Israel here means he who rules as Yahweh rules. But they were cut off from that being unbelievers. He says, and strangers to the covenant. Also, they didn't even know what the covenant was, many of them. Even in Ezra's time, if you know, the people that was taken into captivity and taught another language and taught immortal souls and everything that is going on in Christianity today, Christmas, Halloween, Easter, all of that is shown by the prophets. That's what they were taught when they were taken into captivity. This was being forced upon them, of course. And of course, they gave them great jobs and stuff like this, and they earned a lot of money, and they had two chariots and four horses and so forth to carry them. But they were based upon promises, having no hope and without Yahweh because they were without Yahweh in the world. But now in Yahshua Messiah, Well, why would the apostles know this now and being able to preach it? That this is your hope. This is your only salvation here. Because they knew the prophecies at that time. Remember, Yeshua, he went to extremes to start teaching the prophecies concerning himself. Concerning himself. He says, but now in Yeshua, they were fully convinced of this now. And the apostle Shaul was too. And he was working with the apostles at that time. You who were once afar off have been brought, I got marked through that and I can't even read it. And through the blood of Messiah, through his death. Of course, this was offered by Abel back at the time when he was priest of the house of Yahweh. For he is our peace, who has made both one in unity, brought them into unity, and has broken down the dividing, separating wall, which was sin, or breaking the laws of Yahweh, abolishing the enmity, the hatred. It's almost a hatred when this takes place. It's like when Yahweh said to Cain, why is your countenance fallen? Why are you running around here looking like a sourpuss? Why are you hating the very fact that acting like you're hating to be here among Yahweh's chosen people? Abolishing this enmity, this hatred, opposition to the law, the commandments. Now remember, this is Yeshua he's speaking of here. It's actually Yeshua. Now through Yeshua, you have this. You've been bought back. This is your Passover lamb, the lamb of Yahweh that they're just now finding the altar for. Abolishing this enmity to this law and this plan. It was a plan of Yahweh to do this from the beginning. And he prophesied this all down through that, all down through the 6,000 years. And then when it came for the time of Yeshua, And it's coming, it's like it is today. There's two witnesses prophesied for the last days. The preachers all talk about it. I've never seen a preacher that didn't know about Revelations 11. That's all they know. They don't know the 150 or 200 other prophecies that go with it. But they know about that Revelations 11. But then when the time comes, And it plainly says, you know, it's in the last days. They agree we're in the last days, but they don't believe that these two witnesses could possibly be taking place. They don't believe the scriptures. They just simply don't believe while they're teaching them. Just only believe they don't believe. They don't believe anything that Yahweh is showing. Praise Yahweh. But he abolishes this enmity to the laws, the commandments, and the ordinances through his own flesh, in order to create in himself one new man from the two, making peace, or bringing them to unity. That would reconcile both the one body to Yahweh through this sacrifice, having killed the enmity through himself. This hatred for the laws. He's brought it about now. Yeshua, he did the small part, which was a big part, but that's a very small part of the work that was spoken of throughout the Holy Scriptures. Verse 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off. Yes, these were people that, if you remember, when the gifts of the Holy Spirit were given, there were people there from all the nations that came. They were believers. They were still believers, and they were in other nations, and they came and with the apostles. There was they knew about the apostles. They knew about Yeshua. The word spread rapidly, and they knew prophecies were being fulfilled. Even the enemies knew about Yeshua. They knew that prophecy is fulfilled, and they came hunting him, wanting to kill him. He came and preach peace to who were afar off, as well as those who were near. because through him we both have access to the Father by this Spirit that he taught, which he said was the laws of Yahweh. Now in 19, he says, therefore now you are no longer strangers. That same word is translated Gentiles in verse 11. They're just strangers to the law of Yahweh, the covenant of Yahweh, which, of course, offers salvation. And foreigners, both fellow citizens with the saints now, because you're believing now. You're believing what is preached. So this makes you fellow citizens with the saints of Yahweh. And a saint is one that keeps the whole law. And members of the house of Yahweh. At Abel is the great David Yehuda brought out, and are built on this foundation of the apostles and prophets. No longer is it just the foundation of the prophets. In fact, if we only had that today and we didn't have book two, we wouldn't know which way to go here at all. We wouldn't know that the Savior, yes, did come. Maybe we would know it and not know where to look. But the prophecy showed when he would come, what he would do, what would take place, and then, of course, the temple would be destroyed. All of that has taken place, brethren. So why won't the world believe now? Why won't they believe that this other work now is established? One thing, they don't want to follow the laws of Yahweh. That is the main thing. They love darkness rather than light, so they won't start believing. Yes, there is a prophesied work. Yeah, that two witnesses, it's time for them. Where are they? What will they be teaching? Well, it's not according to their doctrine, so no, they don't want to change their doctrine. Apostles and a prophet, Yahshua himself, this is the foundation that Yahweh has promised us here, the prophets, also the apostles, and Yahshua, the chief cornerstone, which was also prophesied, and he fits right in with what we have in book two as being the chief cornerstone on which this thing is built, and now stands as the high priest, holds the seat, he takes his stand as high priest, as prophecy also said he would, to manage this work in the last days. That's what he's doing. That's his job. And he's doing it rather well. I can't tell you all the things that Yahweh had planned from the beginning that is taking place right now. It's all a secret from the enemy, but very soon you'll see. In whom the whole house, being fitly joined together, grows into the holy house of Yahweh. That is, in unity with Yahweh himself. And that's the ones that will go in and actually receive eternal life. And in him, you are also being built together to become the house of Yahweh through this Spirit, that Spirit of Yochanan 6:63, the laws of Yahweh. Let's go over to Ephesians 4, and notice verse 14 here. No longer are we to be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Well, now you've been brought to the house of Yahweh, the foundation with Yahshua being the chief cornerstone, with the prophecies saying, this is it. This is where salvation is going to be. This is where my laws are going to be brought to perfection with, of course, the great, well, glorious Sabbath. His rest will be very glorious in this time period, because of the practicing what Yahweh practiced from the beginning and it being restored again, and of course all of these prophecies concerning this time period. So he says, don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now all of that should be put behind you. Now you should be pushing the work itself to all nations. And saying, yes, this is it. No, you're wrong over there. You need to get over here and find out the truth. This is what you need to be saying. This every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive. Now, this is going on continually. It's ever since the work of Yahweh started, it hasn't ceased. Go back to verse 3 of chapter 4. He says, endeavoring to keep the unity, striving to keep the unity, not to separate it, but to striving to keep it. The unity of the laws of Yahweh in the bond of peace, striving to do this. More instruction from him here. If you do this, striving, you will be bringing people to the house, not trying to separate the house. There is one body. One body was prophesied. There's never been two bodies prophesied for this time period that we're in right now. We're the last witness, the seventh Moloch. We're the messenger. We are preaching the message to all the world, just as Yahshua said we would. We're taking it out to all the world. And here, he says, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Father, one faith, one baptism, prophesied. Yahweh is one and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now this is Yahweh himself, and he has prophesied Yahshua would be over this work, and it would be one and in unity. Look down to verse 11. He says, and he gave some for apostles, some for prophets, some for preachers of the message of the kingdom of Yahweh, and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saint. Well, now, if you put that together with Zechariah 4 and 5, you'll see exactly where he's putting them apostles, prophets, and preachers and so forth for this perfection, because he plainly says we're bringing perfection, Yahweh's standard of perfection, to all the world, for the perfecting of the saints, for those who will come into unity with Yahweh. Those who won't come into unity, naturally they won't. They won't be part of it. For the work of the ministry, for the building of the house of Yahweh, which is the body of Messiah. That's the body. He said, a body have I prepared for you until we all come into the same unity of the faith, of the same knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, or the Son of Yahweh has, unto a perfect man. Notice you're perfect when you do this, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of perfection of Messiah. Well, of course, Yahshua said, you don't have to be better than your teacher, but you've got to be the same. You've got to do what you're taught. You can't be different from him. No longer, then, are we the children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. In 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, now this, of course, is written by Shaul also, the great apostle Shaul, 2 Timothy 2, writing it to Timothy to instruct him in the ways of Yahweh and showing him where he was actually prophesied of in the Holy Scriptures and admonishing him to be strong, even though he was a young man at the time, to be strong, be faithful, and be brave in teaching the laws of Yahweh. Well, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20, he says, however, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Now, you've got to remember about this word. It was the same thing, the test. And some were turning those tests into an honor for themselves, because they were keeping the laws of Yahweh. They were strict in overcoming what Yahweh tells them to do. They were practicing being bringing a joy to others on the Sabbath day, making the Sabbath a delight. They were supporting the work that brings forth this glorious rest that Yahweh said we would have in this last days, taking their part in the work of Yahweh, taking their stand in the house of Yahweh, and some for honor, but there's also some for dishonor. And this is what we're trying to weed out, of course, that is, not get rid of them, but to get them to repent and make themselves a vessel of honor, like Abraham was. Abraham was a very honorable man. The scripture speaks of that. There was no time that is spoken of in scripture where he was a dishonor to himself and Yahweh because of tests. He always strived to overcome where he was weak, him and Sarah both, and they will be in the kingdom, Yahweh shows. But in the great house, he says, you're going to find this. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if a man purge himself of sins, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and fit for the Father's use, just as Abraham was. Righteous works, sanctified for every righteous work. Also, he says, flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on Yahweh out of a pure heart. But have nothing to do with foolish and uninstructive controversies. Did you hear what that says? Have nothing to do with it. This is what separates and causes people to forget what they're supposed to be doing, which is pushing forward the house. And it causes them to get their mind into a bitter hatred that separates them, starts separating them from the house of Yahweh or the spirit that Yahweh wants in his house, which is unity. Notice he says, have nothing to do with it. Now, where does that law stand in your mind? How much strength will you give it? Will you obey it? If you do, it will stop the controversy right there. Have nothing to do with it, then it will stop it. Praise Yahweh. So what do you fall back on then? You fall back on the fact that Yahweh prophesied Yeshua from the beginning for the last days. Not the days he prophesied for him to come and die, but he also prophesied another work for the last days in the very same chapter. You'd have to fall back on that. You'd have to fall back on Isaiah 44, where it prophesies two witnesses. And Revelation 11, where we're in the last days. You'd have to fall back on all these prophecies. So just avoid the controversy and do fall back on this and start believing it and believe that Yahweh is guiding it.
Praise Yahweh.
knowing that they only generate strife, controversy, fighting. You know, this series of sermons that I got on here was because of deception. And I said, you know, we've got to understand the cause of deception, or we can never overcome it in the house. And of course, the deception has gone on from Genesis, you know, till now. It starts with a word, then an attitude, and then pretty soon you got somebody wanting to kill someone. And this is exactly what took place in Genesis, but it won't be in the kingdom. If you can imagine our job in the kingdom. Now, of course, we're going to have offspring even in the kingdom. The mankind will never stop multiplying. Yahweh shows this. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. Speaking of children, the way that man was created, he was created in a way that he had to be proven. And of course, he was to be let go so he would make a choice one way or the other. And it's always been the choice. You've got to choose, Yahweh says. He says sin is ever at the door. Well, sin, of course, is throughout the universe at this time. Yahweh, he could just kill everyone that sins, but he's not willing to do that. He wants everyone to turn from sin, of course. And of course, the reason that mankind was created was to build a unified kingdom, which is being judged right now, by the way, by the universe, by all the beings of the universe. And Yahweh says, you know, I hold you up for them to see. Now, when we do, when we're determined to do what Yahweh tells us to do, we're honored to Yahweh throughout this universe. And of course, the ones that Yahweh chooses are those that bring forth this honor, as Abraham did, proving that, you know, we'll bring this out later, but let me just put it in here, and then it'll give you something to look for here to see why the apostles were saying what they were doing. Because this honor that was given to Abraham, of course, that same honor was established with Yahweh in the universe. Your glory is firmly set, the psalmist said. Your glory is firmly set. He's talking about Yahweh being honorable and the universe knowing that Yahweh governs by his laws. He lives by his laws. So he's going to govern by those strict laws. Now here you have kingdoms in the universe just like you do here. If America was the state of Israel and America was following the laws of Yahweh right now strictly, you know, you would have other nations over here outside this promise of salvation that's given to the United States. You'd have them going their own way. That's an example of what's going on in heaven, but it's not just nations, it's whole planets. And in the planets, the kingdoms are divided even in and on the planets, wherever they are. Well, Yahweh shows and gave example on earth to heaven. Every time when he let the earth be destroyed, that was an example showing what sin brings. The universe knows what is going on. And when he says, I hold you up to heaven, you know, and earth, and they're witnessing what is going on. And they're saying, surely he's not going to let that person in his kingdom. Well, he's sitting there in his house, you know. No, when we bring honor to Yahweh, and that's what we've got to do, we also bring honor to ourselves. Because the universe is watching us right now to see if Yahweh is going to just, you know, Satan is saying he can't. He can't take mankind and make what he wants to make out of mankind. Well, we already have Yeshua, as the apostle said. He did make it. And, of course, that part is proven, see. Yes, proven. But now Yeshua's job just begun when he made high priest. You know, he didn't have this power that he is given right now. He didn't have it as he was a lowly, a very lowly Oki. if you remember, I showed you the way they talked about the Okies in the book, Grapes of Wrath, and then another one. The guy wrote two books about it. That's the same way they talked about the Galileans where Yeshua came from. They were uneducated. The disciples were uneducated and ignorant men, it said. But they recognized that they had been with Yeshua. Well, where did Yeshua get his studies? from the Holy Scriptures. Now, they said in Galilee, the people didn't keep up with the changes in the grammar. And of course, they didn't buy a new dictionary every year to find out what words was that changed and so forth. Well, of course, the Catholic Church, which was Pharisees at that time, they had their schools of higher learning, and they were teaching the people new languages. And of course, that language wasn't kept up with in Galilee. They didn't even want that language. They wanted what their scriptures were written in, what the prophets wrote it in. And that's what they followed. So they said these people are unlearned and ignorant. Well, of course, in Oklahoma, times were hard. People had to work to get by, and many of them were uneducated. Many of the people in my time period were uneducated in higher schools. In fact, the school that I started in, it didn't have electricity. There was no lights. When it got cloudy outside and you couldn't see, they sent you home. That was when a dust storm took place. But there was two teachers that was teaching 12 grades in the school that I went to. And of course, if you could imagine that going on now, you could see, you know, they weren't teaching the stuff that you could get right now in Abilene Christian College, for instance, or these schools of higher learning. They weren't teaching, they didn't have the equipment to teach with. But you could learn to read the King James Version. You could learn to read the laws of Yahweh. And that was what a lot of people were studying at that time. In fact, that's how they learned to read, was the King James Version that was passed out by the British Bible Society into that country. Free. They probably couldn't have bought one. Well, anyway, and a servant of Yahweh, you see here, this back to verse 23, but have nothing to do with these foolish and uninstructive controversies. He's speaking of people who try to upset the house of Yahweh to keep them from their work. This is just a trick of Satan. When something occurred just before the feast, and I was disturbed with it. It was reported to me, and I was disturbed with it. And, this was Satan's way of bringing in the world, you know. It had to do with lawyers and attorneys and stuff like this. And I told the elders, I said, you know, I'm working on other things here, and I really need to get back to this, because all this is just Satan's way to try to get your mind off of getting this feast ready to go. Well, I'm glad we got it off and got the feast ready. That was the best one ever. But Daniel will be a servant of Yahweh. He says, and a servant of Yahweh must not strive. Rather, just keep your mind on the work. Stay with your hands on the plow. Be gentle to all, capable of teaching, of course, and patient. But you can't argue. When you argue, you know, the person already has their mind made up, and while you're talking, he's trying to interrupt you. Now, what is he going to get out of that? Nothing. Through arguing, you can get nowhere, because the person is arguing against the word of Yahweh. Now, if we settle the matter at Abel, or if they believe the one sent, that settles the matter at Abel, right? So you don't have this arguing going on here. In humility, instructing those who are in opposition, since it may be that Yahweh may grant them repentance, they may. You see, Yahweh has established his house. He's running his house. He's guiding his house. He tells you that. Now, if you got something contrary to his house, you know, you're saying, well, Yahweh doesn't have sense enough to run it. I've got to get in here and straighten this mess out. So apparently you think Yeshua was up there wringing his hands and saying, what are we going to do with that guy? You know, I thought I had him all straightened out, and here somebody's coming up here saying that church is right over there. That's the way it looks. But See, this is all foretold to us to begin with. My house is right. My servant that I'm sending you, do what he says. Don't buck up against him. Then the deception will stop, because Yahweh said he's guiding that person. He was guiding Yeshua. And Yeshua, he called them hypocrites and Pharisees, but that's about as much argument as he gave them. You're hypocrites, you're Pharisees, you're whited sepulchers. And he left them to cipher that out. So that they can come to the full knowledge. He may grant them repentance, but he says don't get involved with it, don't be a part of it. And that they may wake up and stop being deceived about the snares of the devil, which that's where they come from, who has taken them captive to do her will. I didn't get very far in this, that's 26. Back to 19 again, back to verse 19. He says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure." It stands sure. You can believe that. Now, you know the prophecies. You know that Yahshua was prophesied. You know he came and died. You know that. Why can't you put faith in that? And stand sure. And don't be having these controversies. Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh stands sure, whether you do or not, whether you will or not, having this seal. Yahweh knows those who are his. Because everyone who reverences the name Yahweh departs also from iniquity. And he's got you pegged. If you honor him by believing the one sent, then you're going to be a part of the one sent. If you're not part of the one sent, you're not part of the salvation that he's offering. It's that simple. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next lady. I love you.